Welcome to Bench Boost Boys and me, Gav, and you, Scott. How are you, Scott?
Doing well.
It is Game Week 34 forecast. Ian's Nachos give me wood. Don't forget to join our private league, as much as there is only, what, five games left of the game week.
Yeah, but there's still a huge cash prize.
Stop saying that. There's absolutely no cash prize, but still please join. The code is P2IFBX. At Bench Boost Boys on Twitter, benchboostboys.club is the website. Anything else?
No, but there is a huge cash prize.
Stop! Somebody stop him. Let's get straight into how we fared in game week 33. Bench Boost Boys. Before we start with game week 33, to preface the fact that I don't feel like I had a great game week 33, I just want to mention one last time how great Game Week 32 was.
Oh, we didn't do an episode for Game Week 32.
The one where I absolutely fucking crushed it. Got like 92 points.
Game Week 33.
The Game Week 33 just happened.
Yeah.
So Game Week 32, I did awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Game Week 34 is the one we're going to
preface.
Preface. Preview.
We should give our viewer or our listener some context, and that's that last week we kept pushing back the podcast until eventually we just couldn't do it.
It was a weird game week though, wasn't it? Because it was stretched over such a large period of time.
That's the reason why we missed it, yeah.
Well, amongst other things, you know, life goes on. But I do just want to start by saying I had a fucking awesome game week 32.
And let's look back then, because you should get to talk about the wins that you've had. There haven't been many.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well... Yeah, I got... What did I get? Bloody hell. It was a whopping 92 points. I played my triple captain on Harry Kane. He only played the one game, but it was still good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, 92 points. I just couldn't be happier, mate. My game week rank was 9,733rd. I was in the top 10,000 in that game week.
That's really good. That's top 1%.
There we go. It was fucking awesome. But I don't want to dwell too much on the past. And I have had a terrible... In fact, you know what? Why don't I start?
I'll just do my game week 32. 62 points. Game week average is 47. Wasn't very good. But, you know,
I need to revel in it. Because as you say, I haven't... That was my best ever game week for the season.
Yeah, you're generally pretty trash. But go on.
Okay. But... Sadly, to contrast that, my game week 33, the game week that's just finished, I got a whopping 46 points. It was still 10 over the average of 36. As I got here in my notes, I was banking on what I called guaranteed clean sheets. I was thinking Brighton, Liverpool and Leicester were all going to get clean sheets. No such fucking luck. Sheffield United, don't they know they've been relegated? What are they doing?
Mm.
They beat Brighton 1-0. Newcastle scored against Liverpool. How dare they? And then Crystal Palace. They went 1-0 up against Leicester. Wilfred Zaha, I thought he was dead. What's going on? So I lost out there. Strangely enough, I did get clean sheet points for Stuart Dallas, and I thought that might not happen. Topsy-turvy world, mate. Creswell didn't play, even though minutes before the lineups came out, Grandad Moyes was saying that he was going to play. Just fucking with us at this point. Fernandez blanked, got himself a cheeky midfielder's clean sheet for 3 points. Bamford, yellow card, thanks, mate. Lingard just decided to let Chelsea win. And Traore got a yellow card for Wolves. It's fucking fantastic.
And they got fucking thumped.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Point scorers for me. I got an assist for Evans at Leicester. Stuart Dallas, I already said, got a clean sheet. Pereira, West Brom, he came good. A goal and 3 bonus points. Iheanacho. Oh, Ian's Nachos. So he got 1 goal, 1 assist and 3 bonus points. So really, those guys rescued my pretty damn average game week.
Who'd you captain?
I rolled the dice on Trent.
Didn't go well. Newcastle scoring. Who got the goal for Newcastle, by the way? Do you remember?
Who fucking cares?
Well, I was wondering. I might have a quick look at that because, Alex Saint-Maximin, he's a player in form. I reckon it'll be one of those situations where he wasn't involved at all, just to spite me. Willock scored a goal.
He's doing really well, isn't he, on loan from Arsenal?
Yeah.
I think they want to keep him, so watch that space. How about you?
Yeah, no, I did pretty well. 14 above the average, so 50 points. But leading into this morning's game, which was Leicester versus Crystal Palace, it wasn't looking good for me.
Arguably, you had less performers than me, but you made a much better captain pick.
Yeah, based on our algorithm of 5 points equals a performance. I only had three players perform for me. That was Luke Shaw, scored, got a clean sheet and two bonus points, and scored 8 points. Stuart Dallas, again, a surprise clean sheet, but a nice surprise, 6 points. And Ian Acho, I rolled the dice on captaining him. So really happy I did that because there's not a single other player in my team I would have wanted those points from. I mean, Luke Shaw turning 8 into 16 is pretty damn good. But I having players like Patrick Bamford, who's one of the top goal scorers of the top point scorers of the season, sorry. Madison, who's finally back for Leicester and is playing pretty decent football. Jota, who scored heaps of points when he wasn't in my team. Bruno Fernandes, who's just been shit for the past few weeks. And Jesse Lingard, who's been pretty damn good for the last couple of weeks, but West Ham are on a bit of a losing streak at the moment. So I don't have bad players, but my good players just had a bad week. So same as you, pretty happy that Ian Acho pulled me up past the game week average. My overall rank is currently sitting at 356,000th.
I'm 481,000th.
Yeah, I mean that's damn good. That's where I was a couple of game weeks ago. Mm. But my overall points 2004, and the reason why I'm happy about that is because I set myself a target at the start of the season for points scored, and I wanted to score 2,000 overall. That was in my spreadsheet. That was my goal. My forecast when I stopped using my spreadsheet about game week 18, game week 19. Had me forecasted to score about 2,200 points. And I'm on track to do that. I think five more games. I'm only 196 points off that. I think I can do it.
Well, 50 points a game week.
Yeah, which truthfully has been... 50 points has been pretty much bang on what I've been getting week in, week out. So, fingers crossed I get to 2,200. I don't know that I'll achieve my goal of getting into the top 100,000 overall, but yeah.
I reckon you'll come pretty close.
Ticked off one goal this season, and that's enough for me. The only thing that can go wrong from here is if I take a heap of hits and all my players die.
Or you die. All right. Well, that's a pretty good summary of our game week 33, so we'll take a quick break and then look at a whopping watch list update. Bench Boss Boys. Watch list update.
You'll have to make one of those.
I'll just cut that out. We can use it next time. Who have you got?
It's not a long watch list. I was thinking about three players on it. I've only got two on there, as you can see. The player that came off my watch list as soon as he went on was Benjamin Chilwell. Played really well last week or this weekend gone. Scored 12 points, but having a look at him, just wanting to look at his form, I realised he actually, in the last seven game weeks, only played three or four games.
He's playing basically every other game.
He is actually. That is actually the pattern. Yeah. 90 minutes, 0 minutes. 90 minutes, 0 minutes. 90 minutes, 0 minutes. And that's been consistent. So, took him off my watch list. I don't, he's not going to play next week by that pattern. The two players on there, though, Castagne for Leicester, scored a goal this morning. Played pretty well. Didn't get the clean sheet points, but still played pretty well. I don't mind Leicester City's fixtures. The only reason I probably won't bring him in is because I already have Madison and Ian Acho. But
stranger things have happened.
Yeah, if I'm looking at the top three teams at the moment, Man City, Man United, and Leicester City, I'm not that interested in any Man City players. And the reason for that is I don't really love the consistency and the rotation. It's weird to say that about the best team in the league at the moment.
I know what you mean.
Man United, look, interested in Rashford. If I'm going to bring Rashford in, it's going to be for Bruno Fernandes.
Mason Greenwood?
Yeah, I have chatted about Mason Greenwood, but Mason Greenwood is classed as a striker in the game. And I've got three strikers I really like, so.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Not really.
They did that. Considering that so many so-called strikers are classified as midfielders.
Did I just make that
up? Yeah, I bet you have, you little liar.
I'll fact check that. The other person in my watch list was Chris Wood for Burnley. Now, if anyone hasn't seen it, he scored three goals and he got an assist.
Greenwood's a midfielder.
Well,
stop lying on the podcast.
You fact check it then.
stop fucking lying.
Either way, whatever. Who cares? Point is, I'm not getting him. I'm not getting him. He's not on my watch list.
Okay.
But Chris Wood, I just want to talk about that hat trick. I watched the highlights. Now, Chris Wood is one of those players where you look at him and you think, he's not that great, but he's actually one of only about five players that have scored more than 10 goals in the past four seasons.
Yeah.
That includes players like Mo Salah, Jamie Vardy, Harry Kane. So he's in that class of players, but he's not. You know, he isn't. He's a Kiwi striker. That's why I like him. But the fact that he scored three goals, his actual form lately, though, has been really, really good. So,
it's his last six games has defined his season. 9 points, 8 points, 10 points, 5 points, 2 points, 20 points. What a strong finish to the season. So he's clearly in top form. Because before that, it looked like he had a spell where he was out injured for about five games. The odd 8 points here, 9 points there, but basically a season full of two-pointers.
Mm.
He's just come to life. Better late than never.
You know, there's three players that have really come to life in the back end of the season.
Iheanacho,
Jesse Lingard, Chris Wood.
To a lesser degree, and isn't he out injured now at Lacazette, maybe a little bit?
Yeah, Lacazette. Actually, that's a fair shout. Yeah, good point. Your watch list. This should be easy one.
Fucking brief. I've literally just got El Ghazi back on there, I think, for about the third time this season.
Why? Talk me through it.
I think he scored a goal at the weekend, didn't he? El Ghazi.
You're telling the story, mate. Why is he on your list?
Because I like his name. El Ghazi.
I'm a bit turned off the Aston Villa players at the moment, I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. But he scored a goal at the weekend and got two bonus points. I don't know. Like, he's still maybe... Yeah, you're right. Villa are not in top form at the moment, despite that win at the weekend. I know Watkins did all right as well. They've not quite been the same.
Did they have a win or did they drew 2-2?
I don't know, mate. Some goals went in. It was 2-2 draw against West Brom at home. And Watkins did well in that game. And so did El Ghazi. El Ghazi got a goal on the two bonus points. They've not been the same team since Grealish had his mysterious not long-term leg injury.
Mm.
He's still unknown by the looks of things for his return date. But El Ghazi seems to fill in a bit there. So I don't know. There's not. I'm kind of at the position now at this part of the season. Five games to go. There's not many fresh names apart from the likes of, like, obviously you went Chris Wood because he's appeared in form, which is great. So yeah, of course you're going to keep an eye on him. But I'm at a point as well with my team where, outside of a couple of quite template transfers, there's not much going on.
And you've just wildcarded only a couple of games ago, so
that's. Oh yeah, no, that's actually a very valid point. Like, yeah, I wildcarded literally 2 weeks ago.
And you wildcard the team you want for the rest of the season. That's the point of the wildcard.
And that season from that wildcard was, what, 6-7 games. So, yeah, not much happening, mate.
Let's move on then. Shall we take a little bit of a break before we get to game week 34 fixtures?
Let's do it. Bench Boss Boys. Game week 34 fixtures. It's a 10-gamer. No one misses out this week. And it kicks off with Southampton versus Leicester.
Mm.
Southampton's season kind of died a death a bit, didn't it?
Not a fan of Southampton. Really looking back at...
We talked about them a lot in the first half of the season.
We did. We both had Kyle Walker-Peters for a while. We both talked about Danny Ings.
And Walcott, when he suddenly came in for, like, injured Ings, and he did okay.
McCarthy was a popular keeper choice, now Forster.
Very much so, yeah. Bednarak, some of those defenders.
But I say this...
Hazy days.
I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed we ever even thought of them.
It's all right, mate. It made sense at the time.
They're garbage.
However, Leicester...
Yeah. Leicester City is a team that's been in form all season. I'm not a massive fan of Vardy. Everyone knows that. So I never really looked to the Leicester City
now.
Strikers.
We've got an Iheanacho.
Yeah, never looked at the strikers, but now can't take my eyes off one of them. Iheanacho, obviously phenomenal, in really good form. Just seems to be... I think he's scored something like 10 goals in the last 8 games or something stupid like that.
He's now, because we've talked throughout a lot of the season, particularly about that whole thing about a lot of forwards being classed as midfielders, it's not been rich pickings for strikers this season. I think whoever makes these decisions in FPL at the start of the season was probably thinking Timo Werner or Aubameyang midfielder, but, you know, maybe Lacazette, a whole bunch of guys. And they think, well, you'll have a good 10 decent strikers to choose from. Just hasn't worked out that way. And it feels like it's been more like four.
Mm. No, stretch it out to about 5 or 6.
Still not a lot.
Because you've got Patrick Bamford, you've got Ollie Watkins.
Kane.
You've got Harry Kane.
Vardy, if we're talking at the beginning of the season.
And then it started to shift to other
players. Callum Wilson, tiny bit.
Callum Wilson was at the start of the season as well. It did start to shift, though, and now you're looking at players like Iheanacho.
Calvert-Lewin, of course. Did you mention him?
DCL, no, but he was... He's had a bit of a shit patch, but he also had an injury too. So
first, I tell you, it's really been a season of two halves, isn't it? That first half of the season, Southampton were flying high. DCL was the best striker in the world outside of Haaland. And now the picture looks a little different.
Yeah, it does.
But Leicester just as a little update. Harvey Barnes, still don't know he's coming back. Justin, I think you mentioned on the show a few weeks back that was pretty nailed on that he's out for the season anyway.
Yeah, Fofana's someone that stepped into that sort of role there. But you picked up Evans, which was a good pickup because he really assisted the goal this morning for Iheanacho. So
yeah, he did.
From a very good long ball. So he's actually not a bad pickup. Siyonsu, I watched this morning. He's mental.
Yeah, I like him. He's cool.
Yeah, he is good looking.
I didn't say that.
Did you?
I'm not saying it's not true.
That's what you were saying with your eyes. He, this morning, I think it was, who were they playing? Talk to me about this game.
Leicester?
Yeah. Oh, Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Crystal Palace. They went 1-0 down, didn't they?
I think it was Jordan Ayew was running down the line and Siyonsu just tackled him and Ayew went flying. Siyonsu played the ball up the wing and then just looked down at Jordan Ayew. I thought he was going to go help him up and he just started abusing him, like, get off the floor.
Oh, Siyonsu is like a throwback sort of defender. He's like a Viking warrior or something from Turkey.
Yeah. I like that.
Ings 75% as well, by the way, if anyone gives a shit anymore.
Yeah. So watching Iheanacho for this game, and you know, if there weren't better options, he would still be a very, very solid captaincy choice. But the next game is Crystal Palace Man City.
Crystal Palace. Fans of John Stones need to know that he is out until the 12th of May after that weird red card the other week. Crystal Palace, I mean, Zaha grabbed a goal. Obviously, they lost.
It was a good goal this morning. I don't know if you saw it, but it was nice to well taken.
Well, because, I mean, he had a great season. Then he was out injured for a while. And when he came back, it was very quiet. So probably good for him to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, he's a player that, unless he played for a different team, I'll ignore him next season. I've been burned by having him as a $7.5 million midfielder. I don't need him. I don't want him anymore. He's capable of scoring, but Crystal Palace aren't capable of making me feel confident.
No,
I would, you know, in a game like West Bromwich Albion versus Crystal Palace, I'd bet money on West Brom doing Crystal Palace over. I don't trust Crystal Palace.
It sounds like Roy Hodgson's on his way at the end of the season. Anyway, it looks like Crystal Palace want to start afresh. Yeah. And
Roy Hodgson's he's 97, so he's got, you know,
nearly.
All I'll say about this game is I think Man City will roll over Crystal Palace. I will start Diaz as a result of that. Yep. There's no guarantee he'll play because obviously the rotation risk for Man City, and that makes me not want any more Man City assets.
I feel exactly the same way. I know there's lots of people maybe now getting a bit excited about the likes of Phil Foden. They're still in the Champions League, aren't they, City?
Yeah, that's the other thing too. You need to understand that when a team has their focus on more than one competition, so for Man City, it's obviously the Premier League.
This part of the season.
The Super League, you know, the Champions League. Do they still have a chance at one of the Cups as well, I think?
At the weekend, they beat Tottenham in the League Cup.
Was it the grand final or the semi?
It was the final, and they won. So Tottenham lost. So they've picked up a bit of silverware there. They're out of the FA Cup, though, aren't they?
I have no idea.
Which is why they can't get the quadruple. But anyway, your point remains, especially at this point in the season, you're still in the Champions League and you've got a deep squad like they have, anything could fucking happen.
Yeah, and for them, the Premier League's a bit of a walk-in.
Yeah, I mean, unless they absolutely implode. Like, literally at this point, they need to lose the majority of their remaining 5 games and Man United win all of theirs for them not to win the title. They'll want to put it to bed, but Man United can still win the league.
Yeah, that's the thing. If Man City lose focus, they are at risk of stumbling at the final hurdle. But if they are crown champions or Premier League winners in the next three game weeks or two game weeks, you can certainly assume that they're going to be playing their B squad.
One thing to note as well is they have had, I mean, I know they had a cup final at the weekend, but outside of that, they've had a week off from Premier League fixtures. It probably wouldn't count for anything if you were not a team like Chelsea or Man City, but they do have a deep squad.
Yeah.
It's just not knowing who they're going to rest at any given time. So it feels like Ruben Dias is probably the only person worth rolling the dice on.
Now, I don't know why I've got so much text for this next game because it doesn't interest me all that much. I know you're the Leeds fan, but it's Brighton versus Leeds.
Okay.
I've just said Brighton should be pretty nervous about this game. And the reason I say that is because of Leeds' form in the last three fixtures. Now, you said to me earlier today that was their toughest run of fixtures and they took 5 points. Now, they took points from Man United. They took a point for a draw in the last weekend. The weekend before, they drew 1-1 with Liverpool. Great result when you think about it. But the best result of all in those last three fixtures was when they beat Man City at Manchester 2-1 3 weeks ago. So Leeds fans, you're a Leeds fan. You tell me how you're feeling about that. You've got to be happy with that considering their run into the end of the season.
Well, firstly, because of all that nonsense that happened in the close season with Brighton and Ben White and Leeds won in him, and don't get me wrong, I understand that Brighton were desperately trying to keep their best or their most promising centre-back, but it just makes me as a Leeds fan want to fucking thrash them. So I'm quite keen to beat Brighton. Brighton have shown themselves to be pretty decent this season. They've actually been quite good at the back. They often play with like a five that converts into a three depending on what they're doing on the pitch. Mm. They've been pretty solid. But yeah, that running you're talking about that just finished with a 0-0 draw at Man United, which also had a lot of people, including Bielsa, talking about a new mature approach because Leeds got turned over by Man United away earlier in the season. And everyone was always talking about how they've got one gear. They'll just fly at you. Well, for one of the first times this season, we actually sat back. Leeds sat back a bit and were a bit more kind of careful about what they did. They knew that Man United had more firepower than them. And quality, to be honest, like overall. And they kind of played to their strengths and tried to contain Man United. It worked. So that was quite nice. Before that, 1-1 draw with Liverpool. Beat Man City 2-1. So yeah, that run of three games. Like looking at that, after beating Sheffield United 2-1 at the beginning of April, looking at playing City away, Liverpool at home, and Man United at home. They're three tricky fixtures. And yeah, so to come out with that with 5 points, very happy. But Brighton are going to get it. There you go.
Cool. I mean, I just said all of those things a minute ago.
Yeah.
And then he just repeated them.
My words were better, though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Rafinha, 25%. Just
big loss for Leeds, but they've still been playing well without him.
Yeah,
Bamford's been quiet.
Well, do you know, he's kind of, sometimes as well, particularly against like a tough team, he plays that kind of lonely hold-up guy role. So he'll actually work really hard, even if it's just chasing down the defender or the keeper, because Leeds do that high press. He's working his dick off, but
yeah, his dick did fall off. He had to stuff it back into his pants halfway through that game.
He should be fit for the weekend, though. Yeah. But I was disappointed that Rafinha wasn't available for that Man United game, but yeah, it looks like he'll probably still be out for this one, but Brighton are going to get it.
The next match is at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea host Fulham, and I said this earlier, I would love Chilwell for this match.
Mm.
Fulham don't have a lot going forward, but Chilwell doesn't. He's not going to play this game. That's just the writing's on the wall. Tuchel has this mean rotation policy, and we thought we had it bad with Pep.
Yeah.
But
I was hoping that Tuchel, it was just him trying to figure out his favoured team, but no, he's a full rotation.
He's
manager.
A proper cunt. Yeah. Timo Werner scored on the weekend, which is awesome.
I bet even he was surprised.
Yeah. We've said it before, that's the reward you get for keeping your faith in a player. So well done to anyone that's held Timo Werner from game week one. You finally have a point.
Out of 8 point whatever million managers, there's going to be people who've had him.
Someone would have triple captained him this week too, for sure.
I know, it blows my mind.
Weird fucker.
Anyway, Chelsea win.
Yeah, easy mode. Everton playing Aston Villa. And I'll read this just quickly. I hate to say this. I have no interest in this fixture, despite the fact I have two players from Aston Villa.
Mm-hmm. This is your match.
Yeah.
I've gone well off Everton in the last couple of months.
Yeah, bore me. Everton bore me. Aston Villa bore me. Without Grealish, Aston Villa are not an entertaining team to watch.
Grealish going to be there next season?
That's two. You could analyse that all day.
I think he ends up at like Man United.
That's an obvious move though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Mm.
If he can get this damn leg fixed. Yeah, Aston Villa, yeah, they had that draw at the weekend. Everton, as much as DCL has gone off the boil a bit, they've had some okay results lately. They've kind of done, like, Sigurdsson did really well a couple of games ago. Even James Rodriguez has been scoring some points. But
yeah, Richarlison too.
They felt exciting at the start of the season and now a bit stale.
Can we move on? I'm so bored from this conversation. I hate them. I hate them both. I hope they both die.
Speaking of your matches, Newcastle versus Arsenal.
Yeah, I don't see this as your match. Not because I'm an Arsenal fan, because I'm a fan of Alan Saint-Maximin. I think he's got the potential to run amok.
Oh, by the way, this must mean that Joe Willock can't play against his parent club. Must be one of those situations.
Possibly.
I'm not suggesting he's a huge FPL pick, I'm just saying.
Now, you've got a note here about Laka and Aubameyang both being 25%.
Yeah.
That sets up a really good opportunity for people who want to save money for a potential 60 to 90 minute striker in Eddie Nketiah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been linked with clubs in the summer as well. But yeah, no, good chat. And also,
he's only, what, 5.4 mil?
Also, I know some people have been rolling the dice a little bit on Saka. So maybe he does well in the absence of Aubameyang and Lacazette.
I don't have any player from either of these two teams. So for me, it is technically a yawn match, I suppose, by the very definition. I did transfer out Odegaard last week to bring in James Maddison.
Mm.
And Odegaard only scored
no
a point. No regrets, because Maddison scored twice as many points. But, you want a match, but yeah, hopefully Arsenal can do over what? Newcastle, because Newcastle's my brother's team and he's a prick.
Yes, he is. Now, what isn't your match of the week is Man United versus Liverpool.
This is match of the week.
Yeah, conversely.
Hmm.
However, now we kind of get into the realms of captaincy choices. Like if you've got...
No, you don't. This is not the game where you talk about captaincy
choices.
No.
From my feeling is, let's say you've got a team where you maybe don't have Harry Kane, but you do have Fernandes and Salah.
You're a psychopath. You need to sort your shit out. You need to get your shit. You need to put it in a box. And you need to take that box and move it away.
Okay.
You get your shit together.
So that's a long way of saying Salah and Fernandes are not your captain picks for this week.
That's my long way of saying no one sane will be picking Salah or Fernandes.
People will be, but it won't be me.
No, they won't. They just won't.
Yeah, Martial, unknown return date.
You know who will pick Salah? Craig. Craig will be the only person that. Craig's.
That's a forget and set one, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was the meme at the start of the season. Forget and set Salah.
Mm.
I bet you will get a hat trick now.
Oh, he's on 199 points for the season.
Yeah, that's a mad thing, isn't it? Like, Liverpool haven't had the greatest of seasons. I don't know if you've noticed, but Salah's still up there.
Hmm. Even a stopped clock is right twice a day. I mean, Leeds...
He's been right about 20 times a day.
Yeah. I won't even talk about the Leeds thing I was going to say. Look, I think the only reason I'm confident that Man United will win this game is because of Liverpool's form lately. Man United's form's been good. And the fact that they're playing at Old Trafford. I think Man United should win this one, but I think it'll be a cagey one. Like,
it's going to be
1-0.
It'll be 1-1, I reckon.
1-1?
Yeah, because they'll just...
place a friendly wager.
No, that's just me.
What about an aggressive wager? You fucking prick.
Yep, see you in the car park. This is just really my way of suggesting that these teams are both going to fuck everyone who has defenders from these teams. There'll be no clean sheet for anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas is cancelled.
Look, skip forward to the part where we talk about our teams. I'm not going to spoil anything about captaincy choices, but I have a Liverpool player and a Man United player on my bench because I am not confident in either of those two teams.
I hope that blows up in your face. Next game, Tottenham versus Sheffield United. Sheffield United coming off of a win. Tottenham coming off of a cup final loss without Jose Mourinho.
Yeah. Still pretty confident Tottenham will win this game.
They'll want to bounce back from that cup loss. I'll tell you, a little conversation point, though, and we won't get too deep into it because we'll be here all night. We talked a little bit over the last few months about Harry Kane's future. And one of the thoughts that I had was this is Spurs' only chance to get some silverware, and he'll want to do that. The two things for Kane were winning silverware at Spurs, and that he, despite apparently all his teammates not feeling the same way, was a huge Mourinho fan. Like, him and Mourinho were thick as thieves, as they say. Mourinho's gone. They lost the cup final. What's going to happen?
Again, very analytical. Don't like to do it too much. But, yeah, Harry Kane is the kind of player that I think will continue to play his career in England.
Sure, yeah.
I don't think Jose Mourinho will stay in England.
No.
So I don't think that that link is going to be too relevant to
it isn't.
The discussion.
It was more about the ability to keep him at Spurs.
Yeah. So in my mind, Harry Kane is definitely not going to go to Arsenal. but Man United can't have everyone.
Sol Campbell did.
Yeah, but Man United can't have everyone.
No, they can't. So, money is going to be one of the issues. So where's he going? Fucking Chelsea?
Man City.
Oh, you're right. Oh,
and the reason I say Man City is because
Aguero's going. Mm. Oh, it hurts. Oh, it is happening, isn't it?
Possibly. Oh. The only reason I think it might not happen is because there isn't enough room for too many big English egos in that Man City dressing room. They are really good at balancing out the different...
It won't feel like an English ego because he can barely talk. So they won't be able to communicate with him anyway. So it won't make a difference.
Right, fair enough. Texting people...
Expert opinion.
On the spectrum. Great. That's what this...
I don't think any of us ever said he was on the spectrum.
That's what this podcast has come down to.
Speech impediment.
Yeah.
I see it. It's happening. Especially because there's no way that Man City are getting Haaland. That's not happening. So
you don't reckon?
No way.
No.
So he'll end up at like Real Madrid or something. They'll magic some money up and Harry Kane will go to Manchester City.
Isn't Real Madrid technically owned by the royal family?
It's probably more accurate to say bankrolled by. Yeah, they magically will find a way. There you go. Anyway, Harry Kane to Manchester City. Meanwhile, Spurs will be back with a vengeance to slaughter Sheffield United and send them to the shadow realm. West Brom versus Wolves.
Yeah, this is another game where I've got absolutely no cards on the table. Well, but
I've got Pereira for West Brom.
Yeah, I know, but I will say this. It's not a yawn match for me because I really like West Brom. I really like their fight back towards the end of this. It's like they know they're going down, but they're going to really go down fighting.
We do need to take 7.5 seconds here to mention the fact that for about the first 2/3 of the season, we regularly made West Brom the butt of our jokes. Do you remember? Cast your mind back.
Yeah.
We did. And now they're kind of fun.
They are fun. They're like that scrappy little...
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Neto, unknown return date. Sorry about that, Wolves fans. Burnley versus West Ham sees out the end of the game week. Burnley, oh, Chris Wood hat-trick.
Yeah.
West Ham, they're having a little wobble after really doing well.
Lost two in a row. Admittedly against a decent Chelsea side. And they also lost 3-2 to Newcastle.
They're losing a bit of ground on those Champions League spots as well.
Yeah.
I think West Ham... probably going to be Europa League now.
Yeah, look, not a bad shout. I think one of the things that they're going to have to sort of think about is how they attack the rest of the season, because obviously they're going to want to try and retain one of those top five spots, ideally top four spots. But at the same time, you don't want to run the risk of what happened to Leeds at the end of last season, where they're on a heater right now. They're playing their asses off and they're just going to run themselves into the ground just out of pure exhaustion. And because they don't have that attitude of let's take our foot off the pedal. Mm. And that's not a bad attitude to have, but it does come down to fitness and it comes down to a lot of different things. And, you know, you've got players that play for West Ham that aren't always consistently there because of injury. Antonio, recently Cresswell, who's been missing for the last two games.
They've also had some long-term defensive injuries as well, like Ogbonna, and a couple others actually as well. But
Masuaku?
Yes, Masuaku. That's what I'm thinking of. They've done well in spite of that.
Obviously, sorry, hang on. Did you just say Ogbonna because you were thinking of Masuaku? That's racist.
Nope. Both of them.
Is Ogbonna injured?
I have to prove it now to so I don't get cancelled.
If he's not injured, you're a racist.
And that's just internet rules.
That is how it works.
No, he's been out. And then Dawson, he got... didn't he get suspended, Dawson? So they were without him at the weekend. So in spite of all that, I guess to be honest as well, what's really elevated them is getting Lingard in on loan in January.
Yeah.
That was a massive game changer.
Massive game changer. Ogbon has played the last two games. But yeah, no, before that he was out for about eight games.
Thank you. Oh, thank fuck. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one. Burnley trying to keep that momentum. West Ham trying to get back on track.
Another player too that's been out since their two losses, Declan Rice, obviously a huge part of their engine room. So shouldn't...
Well, there we go. In fact, you can actually look at those people who've not been around and go, well, that kind of explains why they've had a dip.
Not, I mean, from a Premier League, from an FPL perspective, from a footballing perspective, Declan Rice is a huge loss. From an FPL perspective, Crespo's a huge loss.
Mm.
But either way, they're losing games, so...
Well, Declan Rice being missing could literally be the difference between your West Ham defenders getting clean sheets or not.
Mm.
So it's the same with Calvin Phillips at Leeds. You know, these anchor defensive midfielder guys, they're missed when they're not playing. And therein lies the Game Week 34 fixtures and rather a heavy dose of analysis. You're welcome, dear listener. Bench Boss Boys. What will you do for Game Week 34?
No, we're not. There's too many of these sound bites. Don't try and add more. injuries throughout the week notwithstanding, I don't think I'm going to make any transfers. Now, I've got Crespo sitting at 50%. I've decided I'm just going to put him on my starting lineup with Luke Shaw as my first sub and just roll that dice. I'd like to have a transfer up my sleeve because I really like the run-in for Liverpool. They have a shit game against United this weekend.
And then it should be kind of plain sailing.
Yeah. And, having a transfer up my sleeve gives me opportunity to potentially move one of my big players out, like a Bruno Fernandes or a Kane later on.
What, to get like Salah in maybe?
To bring Salah in, yeah.
Yeah.
Salah's one of those players that... sitting on 199 points, like you said, Liverpool aren't doing too well, but he still stands out as one of their best players. I do have Diogo Jota already, but if I can have two Liverpool players for that run-in because they have five really, really nice fixtures, or four really nice fixtures coming up. So rolling the transfer, I am pretty happy with the rest of my squad, really happy with Iheanacho. His form right now is incredible. Harry Kane's just had a rest. Son's had a rest. And they've got some good fixtures coming up. I'm going to throw the captain's armband on.
On the teriyaki steak bar.
Yeah, well, teriyaki steak. It's sitting right here. It's burning a hole in my chest.
Who are you going to captain?
Harry Kane. So playing against Sheffield. Vice captaincy's on Son at the moment. Luke Shaw, Diogo Jota, and Matty Target for Aston Villa on my bench. And like I said, Shaw in as first sub. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm kind of in a similar situation.
So what are you doing?
I'm...
Sorry.
I'm just...
Because you're already doing it, so I just jumped in to ask the question.
Thank you, Scott. Makes it fun, yeah. I'm in a similar situation where... I think it's a combination of fixtures. As you mentioned earlier in the show, I've recently played a wild card. So this week, at least, I'm in no desperate need to make any transfers. So I think I will be rolling one. And then similarly, as boring as this sounds, might also try and find a way to jam Salah into my team after this week. Go on. You something to add?
No.
Thanks.
Jam him into your team?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Just didn't know what you were going to say after you said jam him into my...
Just my team. This is a podcast about FPL, so we talk about FPL.
Yeah, that's cool.
Not your filthy habits.
Why are they filthy?
It's not the right podcast. So I'm looking at a 3-4-3. I'm probably going to leave Alexander-Arnold on the bench because I want to play Johnny Evans...
Well, he plays for Liverpool and they're playing City. Of course you're United. Of course you're going to, yeah.
And Dallas has got Brighton and Diaz has got Crystal Palace. So again, and I feel like a stuck record because I kind of said this last week, I'm kind of relying on those three defenders to get clean sheets this week. So if they wouldn't mind, that would be really cool. Mendy in goal, because Chelsea are playing Fulham at home. So I'll leave Sanchez on the bench. Going to leave Creswell on the bench and Traore on the bench as well. So my midfield is Son, Fernandes, Pereira, Lingard. Up front, Kane, Iheanacho and Bamford. I'm putting the armband on Kane. I've got Iheanacho on as the vice.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's the plan. But yeah, I am in a position where I can afford to roll.
What's your score prediction for...
How many points am I going to get?
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to count up mine in my head. So I reckon I'm going to be bang on the money with my prediction.
Yeah? Yeah. I never usually do this, but if I was thinking I'm going to get 24 points from a goalkeeper and defenders, clean sheets everywhere, probably get more because there's some bonus points. So I'm fully banking on my goalkeeper and three defenders all getting clean sheets. So that's minimum 24 points there. Fernandes against Liverpool, you know what? Fuck it. That could be a 2-point blank right there. Pereira at Wolves, I don't know. Could get 5 points there. Lingard at Burnley, 6 points. Son at Sheffield United, 6 points. Kane, 6 points. Iheanacho, probably 12. And Bamford, probably 2. Did you add all that up for me?
No, but I added mine up while you were doing
it. Okay, what are you saying?
I reckon I'm going to get 78 points.
That's a pretty decent haul.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
I'll probably get 79.
Well, you're 12 points. Was it 12 points behind me? We're not that far behind each other. Well, you're not that far behind me. I'm on 2004. You're on 1,980.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 24 points.
That's not a lot, you know.
That's Iheanacho as captain this morning.
Oh, God. Mm. Yeah. So we're potentially never more than a game week away from.
No, we can completely ignore our front lineups. So the only differential is how well will Pereira do versus Maddison?
Mm. Yep. Fair.
And I'm starting Creswell, whereas you're starting. I've got Diaz and Dallas.
I've got Evans.
Evans. So Creswell versus
different keepers
Evans.
As well. You got Martinez?
Martinez versus Mendy.
Who are Villa playing?
Everton. Mm. Now, I'm leaving Sanchez on my bench as well. If Creswell doesn't play, Luke Shaw's my first sub in. So, yeah, you might have me pipped there at the back. I reckon you do.
Midfield?
Pereira, I'm not.
Who knows?
Madison versus Pereira. That's a tight one.
Who knows?
I reckon you might beat me this week. 79, I'll get 78.
Could happen. Well, there we go. That's what's happening. And we will finish up with a cheeky mailbag question. Mailbag time. Mailbag question this week is from Ian, manager of the Delivery Man, and I got to say, it's fucking bullshit, and I'm happy for you to just handle it. I don't mind reading the question. And I appreciate we're at this point in the season where it kind of touches on us not being too desperate to make big transfers. With 5 games left of the season, pretty happy with our teams. What could you possibly do? Ian's question is...
One of the things you also forgot to mention is it's really hard to put a lot of effort into this podcast towards the back end of the season. So we were really scraping the barrel for mailbag questions.
No offence. Ian, is Kane a legitimate option as a set and forget captain for the remainder of the season? Yes.
Yep.
I mean, if you wanted...
And we'll be back next week.
If you really wanted to kind of... I mean, fuck it. Absolutely. And then if you want to, change it for the last game of the season, which is Spurs against Leicester. But that's only if you've got something else happening on your team that looks like a better captain pick. But short answer is yes.
Yeah. And I absolutely echo those sentiments. We have barely put any effort in.
Neither has Ian, arguably. I'm happy enough to leave that there, to be honest.
He hasn't even, if you've looked at Ian lately, he hasn't shaved, and it's starting to look like he's trying to be a little bit too much like me. Ian, try harder.
Ian, don't be like Scott. And on that bombshell, don't forget to join our private league.
P2IFBX. That's F for Foxtrot.
And there's absolutely no cash prize.
Actually, next season there's going to be a massive cash prize. Stay tuned.
No, don't. At Bench Boost Boys is the Twitter, benchboostboys.club.
As long as we have a minimum of 30 people in our league.
It sounds like the awful beginnings of a pyramid scheme, and I'm not on board. Benchboostboys.club is the website.
Just transfer me. Just transfer me your crypto.
Another podcast as well. I hope you all have a terrible game week, especially you, Scott. Be back next week.
I reckon we should just need to support each other at the back end of this season. Really start pushing each other to do better. And look, hope that I win because I've already spent the winnings.
That could become interesting. See you next week.